Song service. I'd like to start this morning by singing the doxology, just a cappella, all right?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Marston, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Amen. If you would take your hymnbooks, turn to hymn number 227, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One, hymn number 227.
Save by the blood of my crucified one.
Stand and take your hymn books once again. Joy to the World, hymn number 423. Joy to the World.
God, that he would take our frame, the artisan inside the paint, or breathe the very air his breath sustains, the architect inside the plan.
Now hail his arrival, the God of
had no start and knows no end, became confined in time and tense.
The everlasting God, the great
and turn to hymn number 421, The First Noel. Hymn number 421.
Starlight shines, the night is still, shepherds watching from a hill. I close my eyes and see the night when love was born. A perfect child gently waits, a mother bends to kiss God's face. I close my eyes and see the night when love was born. Angels fill sing, hallelujah, this is Christ, our King. Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, love come down for you and me. Heaven's gift, that holy spark to light the way inside our hearts. Bethlehem, through your small door came the hope changed forevermore when love was born. I close my eyes and see the night when love was born.
Well, amen. If you would take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to be preaching a theme for this month, the gift of. And so, did they have this line? Gift of. We're going to be preaching about that the next four services, so it'll be this Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, which will be the 12th, the 19th, and then we're going to conclude it on Christmas Eve. And so we have a Christmas Eve service, of course, on the 24th. I believe it's at 5:30. If you get that on your calendar, I think you'd enjoy that. It's a lot different than a regular service. We'll have a lot of good music and incorporate children more. It really makes for a great time. So I'd encourage you to have that on your calendar, plan to be with us. Matthew chapter 2, if you found that, and you can stand with us in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to begin in verse number 1. You can follow along with me. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I want to preach to you today on this, the gift of giving. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together today. I pray to God that you would meet with us, that you might be honored and glorified through the preaching of your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would have power and freedom in our midst to move up and down these aisles in our hearts, that you might be honored and glorified through our living for you. Lord, if there be one here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, our prayer is that today they might come to that saving knowledge of Jesus. We love you and we thank you for this time of year where we stop and remember the birth of the Christ child, his willingness to come and leave the glories of heaven to give his life that heaven might be our eternal home. Have your will and your way in our lives and our hearts, and we'll give you the honor and glory and praise for all that you do. We ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So first of all, I want to say thank you to the decorators. Miss Alice and Miss Jillian, were there others? Mom and Steve. I figured Steve would be in the mix, no doubt, and Brother Rick. Anyhow, I love Christmas. It is my favorite time of the year. I don't understand the Grinch. I like the song about the Grinch, but I sure don't want to be a Grinch. I hope you don't want to be a Grinch. Amen? Last year I mentioned the fact that, you know, we do this sterile Christmas in the church. It's all white lights and all that. Well, I got something special for you this year. This is so cool. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a kid at heart. I love lights. The colors, man, is just so awesome. I love the colors. Hopefully they're going to blink and all that kind of stuff. It's so cool. You know something else I like about Christmas? I like gifts. I told you, it's my favorite time of year. I like to give gifts. There's 11 certain people in my life that just bring great joy to me. And it's not my children. It's not even my daughter-in-laws, and I love them a lot. But it's our grandchildren. You know, I'd break the bank for the grandchildren, forget the kids, go right to the grandchildren. I mean, they are the ones, other than my wife, of course, that I like to see get gifts. So I like gifts, so we've got a gift here today. And I don't know if you know how to open gifts the right way or not, you know, but that's Man School 101, okay? That's how you ought to open every gift. If you're one of those, takes it all apart and folds it, God bless you. I hope you figure out where to use all that paper that you're storing. You just go right ahead. So here's our gift, and lo and behold, it says giving inside. Our gift is about giving. Isn't that awesome? There's three things I want to share with you today about the gift of giving. The first one is these work gloves. Amen? These have been used work gloves. They're not girly work gloves that you put on, you know, to keep your hands warm because it's so cold outside. These are like man working gloves, okay? I hope each one of you boys gets some man working gloves for Christmas, okay? And I hope you use them and get them all dirty, and then you can show people you don't have, you know, sanitized gloves. You got work gloves. And girls, it's good for you to know what work gloves look like, too. My wife's got work gloves. She just wears them out in the garden and all that kind of stuff. And so it's good to have work gloves. It's also good to have some callus on your hands. Good to have some callus. Guys, all you young men right here, you ought to have calluses. If not, come and see me. I'll give you jobs where you can earn some of these calluses. There's nothing like getting calluses and then watch them pop. Oh, you would like it, Reed. You really would. They pop and then you pull the skin off of them. And that's part of manhood 101, right? I mean, it's just good to be able to have calluses. Good to work hard. Of course, we want our girls a little more dainty, but they can work hard. And, you know, callus on them probably won't kill them. But it is good to be able to work and work hard. And so our first point is going to be this when we consider giving is gloves. Gloves represent work or doing. And so you say, well, how does that tie with giving? Well, by doing for others. I mean, we're quick to do for ourselves, right? We're quick to do, you know, whatever it is. Mom says, go clean your room. You go clean your room. But you know what? You could probably almost give her a heart attack by going in and saying, hey, Mom, can I load the dishwasher? Or, hey, Mom, you know, you've cooked so hard. Why don't you go sit down? We'll clean the kitchen. Right? That would be a real blessing. You ought to do those things. Hey, Mom, you know, we're going to gather the clothes and we'll do the laundry today. You just relax. That'd be pretty good. You know, there's things around here that happen at our church that happen because people are willing to work. We have people that come in. You probably noticed through the summer and mow the grass. Every Sunday that you come and the grass has been mowed and manicured, it just didn't happen. And it wasn't Brother Chuck who did it yet. When there's a vacancy, he'll be on that list. But anyhow, it just doesn't happen. Brother Ralph has mowed grass at this church the entire time I've been here. 31 years he has mowed the grass at our church. And he does it without anybody applauding him, patting him on the back. He just does it. It's the thing he feels he can do to be a blessing to the church and the cause of Christ. And so he works. And Brother Anderson helps in that area also. And it's almost funny to watch these two old guys fight over who's going to be on the riding lawnmower. You know, we got a really nice zero-turn diesel Kubota. And it's almost funny to watch them try to get here a couple hours early to be the one on the Kubota. But anyhow, you know, another thing that happens at our church when we talk about work is the cleaning of the church. You know, this church just doesn't stay clean because it's God's. You know, we say, oh, the church, it's God, so he keeps it clean. No, it's God's, but it's our responsibility to keep it clean. So there's a sign-up sheet back on the back table today. We're signing up for the first half of the new year. And I would encourage you, at least put your name on once. You say, well, I'm too old. Well, you know what? We don't have a time limit on, well, we'd like for you to do it within a week, you know. And you don't have to do it all. You can sign up with someone younger, and you can say, hey, you know, I'm going to vacuum the auditorium. I've vacuumed this auditorium so many times. I think it takes about a little over an hour. If you've got the right extension cords, you can work your way through and vacuum this thing. But you can volunteer. And it's an opportunity for you to do something for God's honor and for his glory. It's something to be able to do that others might be able to come to church and enjoy a clean place to come. I'm so glad for a clean church. I'm glad for a painted church. I'm glad for new bushes. I'm glad for watered trees. I'm glad for all these things that just don't happen, but people work and they do those things. I'm thankful whenever someone's real sick and unable to have food. We've got certain groups at certain times that go in and provide food and minister in that way. All those are helping ways that we can serve the Lord. They're ways that we can do things for God. So giving of our time and our talent to be able to do things for the Lord. Oh, here's the second thing. A songbook. Wasn't the group, did they call that an ensemble? Wasn't the ensemble wonderful? Man, I tell you, I loved it. Just loved it. Matter of fact, if they're all here, you guys need to plan to sing Christmas Eve, okay? That was just wonderful. I love the slides. Didn't you see it? Snow falling. You know, I heard a horrible thing today. Well, actually, I read today that Denver has yet to have snow. It's the first time in history that Denver has gone this long without snow. If Denver doesn't get snow, the likelihood of us getting snow is like slim to none. So we need to be praying for snow. Don't worry about praying for Denver to have snow. Just pray for Kansas City to get double snow, okay? It would just take double snow. It would be wonderful. But anyhow, back to talking about this songbook. You know, this is an opportunity that we can partake in giving. Man, I love the fact that the ensemble got up here and sang, but you know what? 5 minutes before church, they didn't go, you, and you, get up there and sing today. They've been working on it Wednesday nights and other times. They'll stand around the piano. They'll work out their parts. They'll get all ready. I don't know how many hours of practice that they had in that. And then they get up here and perform it. And we're sitting there, you know, hey, praise God, man. That's wonderful. Yeah, praise God for that message. And so I'm thankful for people who sing. I'm thankful for people who give of the talent that God has given them. I'm sitting here, or I'm standing over here today singing, and I'm almost right in line with the trumpet. Thank you, Doc, for playing the trumpet. Amen. And I'm thinking to myself, praise God for Doc who plays that trumpet. It just adds a special touch. And thinking about standing here by these pianos, man, praise God. We don't have one piano, we have two pianos. If we had, we actually have a clavinova, which is kind of based on that line. So we've got three pianos, and then we have the organ. Man, praise God. And we've got people that can fill in if those people fall off. You know, they just fall off. We push them out of the way, put someone else on. Praise God. It's giving of the talents that we have. Some of us, I'm not going to say who, but I've said in front of a few, that can't sing in a bucket. But that's okay. God doesn't say you have to be a wonderful singer to sing. He says sing. We are commanded to sing. So just put a smile on your face, rear back, and sing. And if people around you stare, just figure, well, they have never seen real talent, you know? Aren't you glad that Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple isn't, we've got talent? Okay, so my wife and I, before we came here, were on staff at South Knollwood Baptist in Topeka, Kansas. They had a change. We left, went into the ministry. About a year later, they had a change as far as pastor. The new pastor came in, and this was his idea. Excellence. We had a choir of probably 50, 60 people. at South Norwood, excellent in every area. That choir of 50, 60 people went to less than 20 because you had to try out to be in the choir. You know how far the tryout goes for our choir? Well, I don't sing. Maybe I can sing with this. Maybe I'll sing with this group. Oh, yeah, I fit right here. They all sound just like me. That's about it. Why? Because we want to use our talents for God. Amen? We ain't here to impress each other. If you're here to impress somebody, you're at the wrong place. We're not here to impress people. We're here in the audience of one. We want to bring honor and glory to His name. For His glory, we do everything that we do. And heaven help us, we get to the point that it's about, oh, well, nobody patted me on the back. No one told me how great I did. And so I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, good, just don't do it anymore. But quit crying all over the place. We need to do what we do for the Lord. Singing is one of those things. We need to do it for His honor. We need to do it for His glory. We need to be willing to give our talents that God might be glorified. Oh, there's a third thing in here. I bet you wondered when I would get to this. The offering envelope. We can't talk about giving without talk about your money. I've often heard, you know, we've got enough money that we can pay this and we can pay that. The only thing is it's in your pocket. And that's about true, right? Every child of God, if we have a job, we have income. When we have income, that income comes from God. You say, no, it doesn't. I work hard. Yeah, well, who gives you the job to work at? And who gives you the ability to do those things? I mean, all God would have to do is stop your oxygen, and you, like, wouldn't be working anymore. Okay? So the Bible tells us that we ought to give of our tithes and our offering. You know, it's kind of amazing. He doesn't ask that you give your tithes and offerings. It's a command. As a child of God, we ought to give. We're supposed to give. It's a commandment that we give our tithes and offerings to Him. So, you know, Chuck makes 50 bucks a week or somewhere there's about. And so he ought to give 10% of that to the Lord. How much? Oh, good. You're on. That's a good deal. So $5, and he'd give his $5 to the Lord. And then he goes, you know what? I'm feeling pretty wealthy. God's been pretty good to me. I ought to give a little more, so I ought to be involved in missions. You know, we got real live missionaries with us today. Real live ones. No, I was in a church that they talked about missions and always talked about missions, but they never had real live ones. We got real live ones. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, if we've got real live ones here, then they must have like halos and wings and, you know, like pure angels. Okay, I'll go with that. Mrs. Quinlan, would you mind standing for just a minute? And Brother and Sister Kratz, would you mind standing for just a minute? Real live missionaries right there. Wow. They're special. They are special. Don't steal my thunder. I'm doing the preaching. You work up your own message. You draw your own crowd, okay? Real live missionaries God has blessed our church with. These are more than just missionaries who come and want us to support them. These are our missionaries. I've stayed in their houses. I've preached in their pulpits. I've been in their churches. Can I say this? That I've been in a lot of churches here in America and done a lot of preaching in churches in America. And I'll say that the missionaries, especially these missionaries, put the American pastors to shame. Because they work tirelessly. Now, most of you who know me, I'm a 10 o'clock guy. Really, 9:30 is becoming that number. But I'll say 10 o'clock. 9:30, I start yawning. I'm clearing the landing by 10 o'clock, man. I'm putting the wheels down. It's full on crash. Except for Thursday night when I was up at the airport to see Miss Pam in. That was an honor to be there. And so, you know, I've been with both these missionaries and things burning. The candle's burning late. They're pushing and working. And then during the day, we're out knocking doors. We're out visiting people. We're going places and preaching and all those kind of things. I'm telling you, our missionaries are fabulous missionaries. Amen. If they weren't, I'd probably suggest they go someplace else. Because these are missionaries we can be proud of. We can come alongside and say, there are missionaries. We love them. We care for them. And as long as I'm pastor, we're going to do all we can to encourage and help them to serve God effectively. Thank you guys so much. A great honor. How many times I preach this Christmas missions offering and not have any missionaries with us. This year we got the Philippines and Papua New Guinea. What a blessing. What a blessing. So this Sunday, we've set aside start of the Christmas season to be thinking about giving. I don't know how you can be a Christian, call yourself a Christian without wanting to give, without wanting to help. And so this day, we take a special offering that we might divide among our missionaries. Now we have the Crotch Seniors. They're the oldest missionaries from our church, the longest. They were here before I got here. They've been our friends. When my wife was just a little bitty girl, Mrs. Crotch taught her piano, and they were in our wedding and sang in our wedding. We've just known them forever. Miss Pam and Brother John, when they came in, they were our youth directors. That's probably why Brother John went to heaven so quick, you know, just all the pressure of watching out over that Metzinger boy, trying to keep him away from that Fuller girl. Quit it! Then we have the Crotch the Third, which is our newest missionaries that we're out on the road raising support. We need to pray for them. This needs to be a very productive year for them to, as far as support levels. So as we're going to 22, please be praying that they'll be able to raise their support. I'd like to see them headed to the field into 22, middle of 23. They need to be going. The work is there. They need to go. And we need to pray that they can get the funds to go. The Bushes down at Yates Center, they're from our church. We love them. Pray for them. Little bitty town in Yates Center. How many of you know where Yates Center is? You know, it's the hay hauling capital of the world. They haul tons of hay out of Yates Center. And we love the Bushes. Faithful. You know, Brother Bush is at the age that he could say, I'm just going to retire. I'm just going to kick back. But you know what? I find out old preachers don't like to do that for some reason. They like to keep preaching. Why? Because, well, the Old Testament describes a burning in the bones. There's a fire with the call of God that comes in the life of a preacher. And so Brother Bush is down there. And then Mrs. Yarnell, her and her husband labored for years in Africa. Such a sweet, sweet couple. He passed away, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago in a tragic auto accident. And her health is such that she can very rarely come to church. But the Yarnells are some of our missionaries. So this offering today, we'll take it and we'll divide it among our missionaries, the ones I just listed, with this purpose, that they might have a wonderful Christmas. You say, well, preacher, why don't they just hustle it like I do? Well, you know what? You may get overtime. They don't get overtime. They cannot go to a foreign field and take a job from a national. They have to go to the field fully supported. Now, that word fully supported is the oxymoron, because the ministries that these missionaries are involved in, many times they're on the field under-supported, and they're trying to keep afloat ministries to attract people to come to church. And so I've watched them take their own funds, their own living funds, and dump them back into ministry, and back into ministry, and back into ministry. And you wonder, well, what do they do with all that money? Well, I'm telling you what, they're not sitting around drinking coffee and eating bonbons and watching TV. They're investing it in the ministry that souls might be saved. And so they are worthy of our support. They cannot go out and get overtime. They cannot go unless we give them special, they do without. And I know these people. They would do without ever saying a word. But that's not the responsibility of a good sending church. Right? I don't want to be just a good sending church. I want to be the best sending church. I want people to go, oh, we're going to become a sending church. Where do we go find out how to be a sending church? Go to Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple. They'll show you how to be a sending church. They'll show you how to love missionaries and care for them, provide refrigerators and air conditioners and all those needs that happen in life. They'll show you how you ought to love on your missionaries and surround them and care for them and pray for them. They know how it's done. You say, well, preacher, I'm all new to this. Well, you just keep coming. I'll show you how to do it. Because it's our goal to be the best sending church, that they would never want to leave us. Matter of fact, my goal is to be the best pastor so that whoever comes after me, they'll go, well, it just wasn't that way with Brother Metzinger. You know what I'm saying? Kind of the way I love my wife. I love her so that if I die, someone else comes along. She goes, eh, I don't think you'd measure up, bud. I just don't think you'd do it. Amen? I don't want her to ever remarry and go, boy, he's so much better than Kevin ever was. I want her to sit there and go, man, what did I do that for? And he just never will measure up. Anyhow, giving. So today's a special day of giving. You say, well, preacher, wait a minute. I'm already giving 10%. I'm already giving a little extra. But Chuck, you're not on a mission field with limited income. You can go out and wash some windows. Maybe mow some grass. Well, probably wrong time to mow grass. And if it doesn't snow, you can't go out and shovel snow. But I bet you you're a smart guy. You could come up with a way to get a few more bucks, right? Have a garage sale. So all the money comes in today. Over here, we have a thing called other, right here. And what you do, here's mine. You don't need to see how much I've given, but Christmas missions. So I have to do Christmas missions. And you can give, you know, $5, $100, $1,000, whatever God leads on you, okay, leads your heart to do. And then as you leave, there's an offering box back there. You just put it in the box. We'll see that it gets to them. But I just challenge you, church. They are worthy of our support. As we start the Christmas season, I think of all the giving that I give, I want God to be at the top of the list. I want him to know, God, thank you for my salvation. Thank you, I have a home in heaven. Thank you, I have a great home church to be a part of. Thank you, God, that you've given us, because not every church has missionaries. Thank you that you've given us missionaries to be responsible for. Now, God, teach us how to love them. Teach us how to give, that we can be a blessing to them. Let's pray. Lord, I love you today, and I thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for the truth of your word, and we start off this holiday season thinking about giving. It's one of those things that's readily a part of the Christmas season. You gave the greatest gift when you gave Jesus. You gave him that all mankind might be saved. Lord, what a awesome responsibility for us as children of God that we can give so our missionaries can have a good Christmas as they go and represent us in the fields far beyond here, in the Papua New Guineas and in the Philippines and in Africa and down in Yates Center, God. Just help us to be the church that we need to be. Help us to love our missionaries, to be thankful for them. Help us just come alongside, encourage them, help meet their needs, that they can serve you in a great and mighty way. And then, God, just because we give doesn't cut us off from having the responsibility of sharing Jesus with those around us. Help us, Lord, to give out the good news of Jesus Christ to those around us, that others might be saved at this holiday time. We love you and we thank you for this time together today. We ask these things in your wonderful, most precious name. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing 471. If God's spoken to your heart today, I'd encourage you to come. Whatever your need, the altar's open. If you're here without Jesus, we'd love to take a Bible and share with you from the Word of God how you can know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Whatever your need, would you come?
Drive me, O Savior.
I'm going to have Brother Chuck come. I want to mention that as far as the Christmas offering, if you haven't got bonus yet, you're going to have one plan to give off of that. You'll just put on an envelope. Hey, you know, I'm going to give so much in a couple of weeks. We can plan. Give it over the next. We just want to. And then would pray for my voice. Got Miss Denning her funeral. Gardens drive to Branson. Couples long enough excited. I can lose it tomorrow. Fine. Wife doesn't.
All right, today is brown bag service, and so we'll break for lunch for a little while and then meet back at 1:30 for our afternoon service. Also, officer nominations will begin today, and so we'll have a church vote in January at our business meeting, but we'll start the nominations today, and those will only be accepted until the 19th of this month, so it's only 2 weeks. So if you'd like to nominate somebody for deacon or trustee or church clerk, then just be sure to talk to them first and then get their signature and then put those nominations in the offering box in the back. We'll have a youth Christmas party this Thursday. No cost for the event. We'll start at 6 o'clock and end at 8:30. There's a Christmas cantata coming also next week, starting on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Is that right? 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. And so Saturday and then 6 o'clock as well on Sunday. And there's a cookie fellowship sign-up sheet on the back table. Ladies' Christmas party at the Metzinger House on Thursday, December 16th at 7 o'clock. And so bring a gift and a favorite snack. And then we'd also like to be blessing the Gilsons this year on December 19th. We'll be collecting for that either Walmart gift cards or Visa gift cards or however one of those two things would be very appreciated. And then as Pastor mentioned, there's a sign-up sheet for church cleaning. And so if you'd like to be involved in that, I would appreciate it because whenever those don't get filled up, guess who gets to clean? And so I'd appreciate your help. And so there's a sign-up sheet in the back. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. And Stephen, would you please?